Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15 through 18. Deuteronomy 32, 15 through 18. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to gods whom came newly up from your, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. So very appreciative of you and your attendance here. Those listening by way of radio, we are so appreciative of you and your participation in our program today. And we would love for you to join us any chance that you may have here at the Arlington Church of Christ, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, where our building's located. We sure would love to see you sometime in the near future in person. We had a wonderful singing, and I do want to personally thank everybody that came out and participated in that, helped make that a success. We look forward to the next time when we can all get together and sing God's praises. There was a man who was nearing the end of his life, and he was lying there in the hospital room. And the doctor came in and said, "Well, Mr. Smith, I hate to tell you, but it looks like you're about ready to cross over. Is there anything I can do to help you?" And Mr. Smith said, "Could you get my lawyer on the phone and have him come here?" And so he did. The lawyer walks in, and Mr. Smith said, "Would you stand over here on this side of me? And Doc, would you stand over here on this side?" And the doctor said, "Well, we can do that. I'm not really sure how that will help." And Mr. Smith said, "Well, the Bible tells me Jesus died between two thieves. I thought it'd be the way to go." I'll tell you later. Appreciate you being here today. It's a good day. It's God's day. Dustin, I want to thank you for that prayer. That was a good prayer. I appreciate the ability to recall in our lesson here today. I want us to talk about forgetting God. In fact, it would be a shame if I forgot what we want to talk about when it comes to forgetting God. And as we get into this lesson, you may say, "Well, why, Brother Justin, why should I study about forgetting God? I'm here at church. I'm here at worship. I'm listening to this sermon on the radio. Why would I need to talk about forgetting God?" Well, I think, hopefully, by the end of this lesson, it will be a little bit clearer. You know, we think about forgetting. Sometimes it can be humorous when people forget things. Just going through movies that maybe you love, books you like to read, TV shows you like to watch, there's usually always some aspect of a character in there that can't remember something. They have forgotten maybe the most important thing. On every show, it seems, you've got that one character which winds up being beloved. And when we're doing it in a fictitious way, that's humorous. We find joy in that. But honestly, forgetting things we need to know can be tragic. When people forget their first love, that's tragic. When people's mind escapes them through the result of diseases or injuries, that's very tragic when you can't remember those things that you once loved. So forgetfulness can be on both sides of that. But the most catastrophic thing, dear friends, is forgetting God. And I hope we don't do that. But I want us to look at that idea, at the nature and also the causes of this spiritual condition. And then maybe some ways that we can realize how we've done it so we can get out of that. So three simple points for you this morning, and I hope they're simple enough that you don't forget them. I want us to first look at the fact that forgetting God is at the heart of every sin. Forgetting God in some aspect is at the heart of every sin. Sin, simply defined as missing the mark. All sin, with its shame, with its heartbreak, at some level skews from forgetting God. I want us to look at these four examples, and we could probably list more, but I think these will suffice. Go with me to Matthew 25 and verse 45, if you will. I want to talk about selfishness for a second. That's where I put me above you. And I put the things that I want always above the things that you want. Oftentimes to mine, maybe even your detriment as well. Notice here Matthew 25 and 45. As Jesus is telling us, arguably the greatest depiction of the judgment scene in Scripture. The separation of the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are good. They help those who are hungry. They help those who are thirsty, those who are naked, those who are in prison, those who are destitute, and they are commended for that. He says to the goats, those that he separated, told them to the left hand, he says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. Naked, you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and you didn't come visit me. I was naked and you didn't, or a stranger, you didn't take me in. Verse 44, and they answered, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or sick or in prison? Notice verse 45. Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Their argument, which is very flimsy, is that had they physically seen Jesus hungry, they would have fed him. And if they had physically seen Jesus naked, they would have clothed him. That's the argument they're trying to make. Lord, we didn't see you. He said, you're right, you didn't see me. But you were so selfish that your own brothers or sisters, those around you were hungry and you didn't feed them. They were thirsty and you didn't give them drink. They were sick and all they wanted was to see somebody that they loved. And you didn't go and visit them. He says, so you didn't do it to the least of these. You didn't do it to me. Dear friends, selfishness, that's when we forget God in our dealings with others. Jesus wants me to love my brethren and to care for those that we have a common mutual bond in Christ. I am to help look after them as they reciprocate that and are to help look after me. But selfishness is when we forget God in that. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We're not going to read the entire chapter, just point out a few things in it though. Let's talk about pride. Let's talk about pride. Now, I don't mean the sexual perversion that some people try to assign. I'm just talking about the attitude of pride. Pride goes before destruction. Haughty spirit for a fall. Proverbs, right about chapter 16. Dear friends, pride is forgetting God and our estimation of others. Let's just start in Luke 18. He spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, but because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find them on the earth. So, when he talks about, as an example of praying, before he gets even into that, he says, there are people who are just nagging. He says, you're going to go out and help those who are nagging. Why don't you help those who really need it? You may look at a widow or someone who is just destitute. Widows really had it bad in the first century because they didn't have a husband to go out and work. It was really bad if you were a widow and you didn't have any kids, because your kids would have to provide for you. If you didn't have the kids, you were more or less out of luck. That's why one of the first works of the church is to take care of those that have lost their spouse. But go on. Notice here what he says. A parable about those who trust in themselves. They're prideful again. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There's you another example. You've got a Pharisee, the religious elite, who thought he was better than everybody else because he prayed as if he was better than everybody else. I'm glad I'm not like him. Oh, God, I fast twice in a week. Why? Well, it said in the Old Testament, Moses went up on Mount Sinai on a Monday, and he came back down on a Thursday. He was up there for 40 days. But those are the days they say he came up and went down. So the Pharisees, they fasted on Monday and Thursday to show you how righteous they were, I say facetiously. And a tax collector, a publican, doesn't even lift up his eyes and just ask for forgiveness. Jesus says that latter went down justified. That Pharisee was prideful. He even prayed as he was prideful. Dear friends, pride is when we forget God and our estimation of others. Let's move on, though. And if I step on any toes in this next one, I'm not meaning to. I'm trying to aim for your heart, so keep that in mind. But worry. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 6. When we worry, we forget God's providence. We forget that God is going to make things work out to accomplish His eternal will, however He wants to make them happen within the normal realm of mankind. God's going to accomplish His will. Notice here, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. I'm using King James. Other translations that are reliable ones will render that phrase, don't worry, or worry not. Don't worry, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, you couple that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we worry about the unknown, we are forgetting God's providence, that He's got a control over this world. I was just thinking about that song, This Is My Father's World, last night. He's still in control. Are there people right this very hour fighting that hate each other in different parts of the world? Yes. But God's still in control. Is God going to be in control tomorrow? I tell you what, if He lets this world stand till tomorrow, He will be. If He lets this earth stand 1,000 more years, He will not cease being in control. It's His world. So why not rely upon Him with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving? You can tell Him, God, this is troubling me. And then you turn it over to Him, and then He says, you don't worry. Worry is forgetting God. But let's also look at envy real quick. Go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, if you will. Psalm 103, such a beautiful psalm. Envy is forgetting God's grace and God's blessings as well. Psalm 103, notice what David says in the first 5 verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, envy's a little green monster, right? That's how we depict him. Envy's problem is, as I look over what John has, and it's one thing, look what he has, say, boy, I'm glad he has that. Boy, that looks nice. It's another thing, say, boy, what can I do to get that? And that's all you focus on. Then I become envious of what he has. He may be envious of me. I don't know. I hope not. Envy is when we forget God's grace and God's blessings. God provides what we need. He's given us the ability to go out and work, earn a living, and get the things that we need. Now, these are just 4 different sins. Let me ask you, what sin can we name that doesn't stem from forgetting God? Sin of fornication, you forget God's instructions for a beautiful marriage. You just go down the list. Any sin, at some point in its root, is going to stem from forgetting God. That's number one. Forgetting God's the heart of every sin. Well, let's ask a question then for point number 2. Why? Why do people forget God. You would think, it seems incomprehensible, that people could forget God. If you're in the book of Psalms, go on over to Isaiah, skip over a book or two, but wind up at Isaiah. Don't do like I was doing yesterday, wanting to make sure I was in the right one. I was in Song of Solomon 1:13, and I thought, that's not what I remember. Go one book over, and you'll wind up in Isaiah 1:13. Notice here what Isaiah says, 700 years before the time of Christ. Bring no more vain oblations. Increase is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. That's people wanting more and more. And more they put in, the less and less of God they have in their lives. See what Jeremiah says as well, then we'll figure out why it happens. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 12. Jeremiah 2 and verse 12, he says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, says the Lord." It is just amazing. Honestly, it is, that people could blatantly forget God. He says you ought to be amazed when it happens, because God is everywhere. We see the evidence of God everywhere and every part of our being. We could spend the rest of today, not just the sermon, not just the service, I could spend the rest of the hours in today showing you, just looking at the human body alone, there's proof of God. Or the natural way of nature, I can show that, or use that to show that God exists. It is almost incomprehensible then that people would forget God. But why do they do it? Why do people forget God? Is it a blatant? Do they do it on purpose? Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes people do forget God on purpose. Notice back to our lesson text of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. Some of the words of Moses here, and I didn't really explain it in the intro because I wanted to pick it up here. He says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat, and he kicked. Thou art waxed fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness." Notice, "Then he forsook God which made him, and he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Because of his prosperity, Jeshurun forgot God. God had allowed him to get blessing after blessing that Moses, by inspiration, calls him fat and thick, as if he's been eating well, very well. And he is so full of himself, to borrow that picture, he is so full of himself, he's so prosperous, he forgot God. Number one, people forget God because of prosperity. Let's go to the book of John now in the New Testament. John's gospel account, chapter 3 and verse 20. Sometimes it's because the guilty conscience would rather let go of God in their thoughts. I tell you, it's real easy. If you want to go out and sin, if you don't know, or if you tell yourself that what you're doing is not wrong. If I go out and kill somebody, my conscience is going to tell me that's wrong. My brain's going to tell me the Bible says in the Old Testament and in the New, thou shalt not kill. But if I conveniently don't listen to my conscience, if I conveniently forget, I put in air quotes, that that's what the Bible says, then it doesn't bother me as much. Notice here, John 3 and verse 20. "For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither do they come to the light, lest his deed should be reproved," or another acceptable word for that word reproved would be discovered. He says wicked people don't want to go in the light because they don't want you to find out what they've done. People can train their consciences to tell them that wrong is right. That's why Paul says in his letters that some people have a conscience seared with a hot iron. You can't always be like Pinocchio, and you can't always let your conscience be your guide, but you should always let God's word be your guide and train your conscience after God's word. But the guilty conscience doesn't like to retain God. They let go of that thought and they say, well, if I'm ignorant of it, maybe I won't be held accountable. I can tell you now that idea is false. Whether you know the speed limit on Highway 55 or not, if you decide to go 112 miles an hour and if you can somehow catch all the lights green, I'm sure you will see some blue lights in your rear view before too long, whether you knew the speed limit or not, because you still broke the law, whether you want to admit it or acknowledge it or not. Well, let's move on, though. Let's go to 1 John 2 and verse 15. Some people forget God simply because the world is antagonistic to the Father. Notice here, love not the world, John says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then John goes on to give you three categories of sin. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, number two, lust of the eyes, number three, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So you've got three categories. And every sin will fall into all three of those categories. If not, sometimes multiple times over. You see, the world, if you're in the world, then that means you're anti, you're against the Father. Now, you can live in the world and not live a worldly life. That's what we're called to be, right? There's no other place you and I can live. But we don't have to look like the world. We don't have to act, think, behave, consume. We don't have to be worldly, yet we live in the world. So why do people forget God? Sometimes their prosperity, their guilty conscience, or because they are too worldly. So let's close it out. Point number three. There are many ways we can be guilty of forgetting God. I want to put these up here, and I want us to study these, and then the lesson will be yours. Because maybe by up to this point you say, that's great. I'm glad that the people who have forgotten God are here, and they can learn that lesson, because I don't need it. Dear friends, if that was you, you kind of sound like that Pharisee we read in Luke 18. Be careful not to adopt that attitude. Here are just five ways we can be guilty of forgetting God. And number one, it's when we are not thankful enough. When we are not thankful enough, it's like we have forgotten God. Romans 1:21. Because that they knew God, yet they glorified not Him, or Him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. These were people who had seen the Godhead, the invisible things, verse 20, now clearly seen. They had seen and known God, but they were not thankful. So he makes the argument, Paul does, they had forgotten God. That's number one, not being thankful. Not just the month of November, dear friends, but every day of every month. Number two, how can people forget God when you leave God out of your plans? I see this one a lot. By people who just don't even think to include Him in their plans. Notice here James 4, 13 through 15. James 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Too many people have planned out their entire life of what they want to do, and God is not involved in any step of the process. Dear friends, let me tell you now, if you plan on living another day on this earth, you need to include God in your plans. If you plan on starting a business, you need to include God in your plans and pray that you'll be successful and that He'll give you the opportunities to be successful, not that He'll just snap and make you successful. If you plan on retirement, pray that God will be with you in retirement throughout the rest of your life. If you plan on starting a job, if you plan on getting married, if you plan on starting school, if you plan on whatever it is, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or do that. Do I have some goals? Yes. I would like to get this done. I would like to get that done. I'd like to go here. I'd like to go there. If the Lord permits, I hope to do that one day. But when people leave God out of their plans, they've forgotten God. Number two. Number three, go back to the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The Old Testament prophet, maybe the most quoted verse in the book. Number three, people forget God when we can't find time for God's Word. When we can't find time for God's Word. Condemning words from Hosea, verse 6, chapter 4. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. There are some people who will say, I just don't know when I can study. I just don't know when in the day. I'm so busy. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And at the end of the day, there's no time to study. You know, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. Yet if you want to study God's Word, you'll find the time. Maybe you'll replace something that's not benefiting you spiritually with spending time in God's Word or spending time with like-minded individuals in service to God. I've heard people say to preachers who have preached 40, 50, 60 years, they'll say, boy, brother so-and-so, I would give half my life to know the Bible as well as you do. And the one I'm thinking of, but I won't tell you his name, he said, that's about what it takes. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. On the day of judgment, I'm sure that verse will condemn many, and I hope you're not one of them. Don't forget God. Make time. Put Him first, and then squeeze in other stuff. I saw online this week a quote that's resonated with me. Church should be your reason for missing other stuff. Not other stuff, the reason you miss church. Make God first. Number four, we forget God when we undervalue the church. When we undervalue the church of Jesus Christ, His church. Notice here Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul speaking to the elders at the church at Ephesus. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Here's where they undervalue it. Which was purchased with His own blood. His is Jesus Christ's. The church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. When people try to water down the church, they have lessened, they have undervalued the church. There is nothing more valuable than something that was purchased with the blood of the perfect, sinless one, Jesus Christ. Yet when we try to undervalue the church, we forget God. Let's pick up our last one. We forget God, number five, when we fail to keep our promises to God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter 3, 21, he has just spoken about Noah. In verse number 20, how water was a saving element with Noah on the ark, on the flood. Verse 21, that like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Baptism saves, dear friends. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It is the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we decide to follow Jesus, after we've heard, believed, repented, made that public confession, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we're lowered down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ, we have made a promise to God that I'm going to forsake the world and follow you. But people forget God when they fail to keep that promise. That's why we have an opportunity to return home. But there's just some of the ways. I've got one more verse I want you to look up in the lesson's yours, and that's in Psalm 9 and verse 17. Dear friends, because forgetting God, it can lead and does lead. There's no can. It's a guaranteed. Forgetting God leads to spiritual ruin. Notice what David says, Psalm 9 verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If you forget God, leave Him out of your plans, leave Him out of your life, hell's the only destination that you can expect to look forward to. And I don't know anybody that would want that. So instead, we need to remember God at every moment of every hour of every day. Now my prayer this hour, dear friends, is that you have not forgotten God. But if you have, we're going to have an opportunity, a convenient time that is, to make things right, to remember Him. The good news is God's good at forgetting sins. If you'll just become obedient by becoming a Christian once again, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going down, coming out of that watery grave. He wipes the slate clean. He remembers them no more. If you're not a Christian, why not become one as we sing this song? Dear friends, if you are a Christian and you've forgotten God, you need to return and repent, and that promise is still there. He will forgive those sins and hold them against you no more.